It's now time for a very card battling edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games to pass into a friend and which games to spend an hour doing a run and get totally destroyed by a boss and love and hate everything about yourself and the world. Yeah. I'm Corey. I do not hate everything, but I do at times when I play this game, Slay the Spire. And I'm joined by the man who slayed the Spire, it sounds like, Basher.
Several times, I want to say. Good day, sirs.
We are here to talk about, you might have guessed it, Slay the Spire. But before that, did you know, you can let us know what you think about Slay the Spire. 574-651-9256. Shoot us a text message, voicemail, whatever you would like on some of your favorite Game Pass games, and we'll talk about it on this show. So we haven't got any texts this year so far. I guess we've only had one episode, so I guess I can't. They've only heard one episode. I'm giving you details that you probably have no desire to understand. But the internet is weird. Time is weird. I can do whatever I want. We could record 100 episodes, and you would never know. Isn't that weird?
We should do that so we're never late again.
Never.
Let's keep recording after this. Let's just keep going.
We aren't ever late. We make sure we take the time to do this correctly. The games don't work for us. I said that backwards. We don't work for the games. The games work for us. Okay. Slay the Spire. We fused card games and roguelikes together to make the best single player deck builder we could. Craft a unique deck, encounter bizarre creations, discover relics of immense power, and slay the Spire. Features dynamic deck building. Choose your cards wisely. Discover hundreds of cards to add to your deck and attempt at climbing the Spire. Select cards that work together to efficiently dispatch of foes and reach the top. An ever-changing Spire. Whenever you embark on a journey up the Spire, the layout differs every time. That's not proper English. I sort of changed it in real. Anyway, choose a risky or safe path. Face different enemies. Choose different cards. Discover different relics. And even fight different bosses. Powerful relics to discover. Powerful items known as relics can be found throughout the Spire. The effects of these relics can greatly enhance your deck throughout powerful interactions, but beware, obtaining a relic may cost you more than just gold. This is available on PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. Does not have cross-compatibility saves, which I was kind of bummed about. The PC version lives in its own world. I believe this is actually part of Xbox Game Pass Core as well. It's part of that ever-rotating library, so this one's probably not going anywhere for a long time. We've got a 12 hours for main story, main and extras 45 hours, a completionist of 195 hours. And this is one of the few times I will say, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, Slay the Spire. Let's talk about it. Oh, and on that topic, no achievements on PC. Bummer, but is what it is. Slay the Spire. Let's talk about it.
Get out of here, buddy. Don't you do the... You doing? Hold on, buddy's about to do a jump. Good jump, buddy. Call a big jump, buddy. That's what they call in these streets, right, Bubba?
BJB.
BJB. Slater, is this the same people that made Monster Train?
You would think so, but no.
These guys need to get together, all right? Make a super game.
Like even the art styles, though. Like, they are like...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're very, very similar. So I think when we played Monster Train, I just assumed, and I think I even said that during the show, that it was the same developer. But no, that is not the case.
I mean, where do you begin? Like, these games are so... they're a bit hard to describe, like, the audio, I feel like, because it's your deck build. Hold on a second. Excuse me. All right, so here we got deck builder, runner. I mean, this is officially my new favorite genre of game, where they give you a bunch of cards and you can only play cards based on the amount of energy you have, depending on what class you're playing or what character you're playing rather. And the enemies along the way get tougher and tougher and any wrong move can end your run. And that only fuels your fire because now you got brand new cars to use for your next run. And then along the way, there are so many paths you can take where you can get special power-ups, cards, shops to buy more cars, more relics to change the gameplay even more. Like, these games get so intricate that they're hard to explain, but when you're playing them, like when you're playing the right one, rather, it all seems to make perfect sense somehow.
Yeah, it's an interesting game because there's several things about it to why I think, like, I'm just going to say this, and, you know, I think I said it already. It's like, we're kind of cheating. Like, you probably already know that Slay the Spire is a good game by now, okay? But we've played enough of it that we have to talk about it, so that's what we're doing. But there's a good chance that you've already played this, and if you have not, what are you doing? But for me, what it comes down to is an execution of play-tested builds, basically. There's four different classes. You unlock the fourth one. I don't remember. I think you have to unlock the other two, don't you? It's been so long now.
Yes, there's three classes, and then a fourth class opens up, which I was not expecting at all.
Yeah, and
like that, the fourth class is the messenger. I'm gonna say
it's the
girl. Yeah, with the staff.
That doesn't sound right. Was it a watcher? I think it's a watcher.
The watcher. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one I haven't even like dove into, because like I tried it one or two times and I was like, this is, my brain can't do this right now. So you have the defect, which is sort of like a magic build. They have sort of these orbs that kind of sparkle around them, or it, and there's a lightning that does damage, or frost, which gives you defense, and a dark, which sort of builds upon itself, and then eventually when you trigger it, it does damage. And I think there's also a plasma and a focus, and those do kind of their own things. But then you have the ironclad, which is kind of like your warrior type. It's more about sort of surviving and brute forcing your way through a lot of things. And then you have the silent, which is your sort of poison type. Well, that's the way I played it. But it's a little bit more, I think I'm going to say magic build, I guess you could say. It's more about using things to your advantage and using sort of status effects and stuff to your advantage to build up, you know, just massive amounts of damage while protecting yourself, kind of thing. By far starts with the lowest HP kind of thing. So it's not a glass cannon per se, but it's far more magic build. So, I mean, each one, even though you're playing the same game, the cards are hyper specific in that they really don't play the same. Like it's to me, that's the crazy part, is they have three different classes and four technically, but I can't speak on that one, of you're playing the same game, but you have to tackle them completely different. And that's a sign to Absolutely. Me that you have play tested this game so much that it works, basically.
Yeah. It's the classes are, the different classes are just, it seems like something so simple, but like you said, like you clearly play tested the heck out of this game. Cause it drastically changes every single run. Every single playthrough is different from each class, like to the point where like you get like the magician class, like where he has like all these different orbs going around him, and it gets even more complicated. But at the end of the day, like I feel like my favorite class was the first one, just this straight up warrior guy. Like so something about just beating your way through anything worked for me easily. And funny enough, the easier class, I think, on paper, the poison class, he was the hardest one for me.
Yeah, so mine was, ironclad was by far the hardest. I could not, I beat, my first win was with the defect, which is the sort of magic powered one, orb one. That was, which kind of surprised me, because like, when you first play the game, it definitely kind of feels like easy, medium, and hard. It, like that's kind of how I looked at it when I first played it, because like the ironclad is the most straightforward in terms of how to get through the game. And whereas the defect and the silent's a little bit more strategic, and the defect is like adds a whole nother layer of strategy. But I ended up beating with the defect first. So clearly my first inkling of it being easy, medium, hard were absolutely wrong. But for me, it was, God, the ironclad, it's just, this game is not as, what's the word I want to use here? I'm going to say the H word again. I'm going to say Hades, because that is the run-based game, right? it has that magic of every run is possible. However, yes. Are you good enough to make every run possible? Like, right. And that's, you have to, like, this game does not hold back in the slightest. And that is both its blessing and its curse, because, like, it's got almost a Mario-like quality of, it's never the game's fault, it's I didn't play it right. And that's a very hard thing to admit sometimes, that, like, I need to be better. But it's very frustrating because the game doesn't tell you how to be better. You've got to figure it out.
Yeah, and it gives you the options to be better or worse too, because, like, the way they lay out the pathways to the end, to the end boss or end of your run, there's so many branches, and you can test yourself as much as you'd like and end up screwing yourself so bad. Like, just trying to get to that chest or that rest spot and thinking, well, the next two enemies aren't boss enemies, so it's fine. Only to find out, like, these two, one of those enemies is some of the worst enemies in the game.
Right.
Like, anything can end your run, but it's just like you said, when you lose, it's 9 times out of 10 your own fault. Actually, no, I'll say 10 out of 10 times is your fault. Like, hardly did the game ever just completely screw me.
I think you could argue, and this is nitpick, it's like, it is procedurally generated the pass, and I think there's limits on that of, like, you can't, it's the word I want to say here, like, it will not allow for, like, 3 bosses in a row.
Hello?
Oh, wait, hang on.
Can't hear a word you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
Now again.
Okay, I think it caught me. Anyways, I don't think there's a chance, like, you could ever have 3 bosses in a row. Like, it will never...
No, it won't do that.
Yeah, it won't ever do that to you. And so...
And if it does, again, you have the option.
Right, to do right. That, and because you pick... I think it's 4 paths every time. But some of those paths interweave and stuff like that. And so as you're going along the path, like you said, it's usually your fault, because you can look at the entire path and say, like, okay, like, I'm going to go here. And there's things along the way. There's treasure chests that give you the relics. There's shopkeepers. There's
the question marks that give you kind of like little lore breakdowns, just kind of little random, not quests, but choices. That's where you can get something like you can get an extra card, but you take 20 damage right now, stuff like that. Like, it's kind of any random thing like that.
Yeah, and sometimes those are truly chance, but some of them are only positive, you know? And there's even some that sort of intertwine, like, hey, like, if you take this now, you might, in the third area, it might pay off, kind of thing, you know? So there's a lot of aspects like that that are pretty neat. So, yeah, like, I guess that was a long way of saying, like, yeah, like, it's on you, but there are so many things that can make or break your run. And it's fun, but it's also, it can be like soul breaking of like, this is the run. And you just get a bad roll of just like, okay, I'm going to fight this boss. And then this boss just, I couldn't get the cards right. And then the thing after the boss was a question mark, and that question mark happened to be another boss fight. Like, and then it's just like, oh God, like, I cannot tell you how many times I got to the point to where I could get to the third area almost exclusively every time. And when I was trying to beat with the Ironclad, like, I just could not get to the boss with a good amount of health and a good set of cards. It's just like, I could not, I just, days went by. I'm just like, I was like, have to be like 15 hours. I was just, I gotta be, I just couldn't. And again, it wasn't on me, or it wasn't on the game. It was on me. I just was not playing the class right. So,
no, absolutely. And that was me with the poison class. Like, on paper, it feels like that's so much easier. Like, I had more fun with that class than the Ironclad class, but I just could not get the right. I was not playing the right cards in the right order at the right time. It was just never happening for me. It wasn't until one great run, I finished that. And then, as you said before I started playing this game, the game's not over.
Right.
When you slay the Spire. When you get to the end of that first run, the game is not over. It's far from over. Because when I first beat the game as Ironclad, I did damage. They show a little cutscene where you do damage to a heart, and it's not enough damage, and then you die. And I'm like, what the heck? Only to find out that you got to do this 3 more times, at the very least, and chip away at this heart to get the true ending. Like the true game starts now, and I thought that was just so cool, because I was already going to play the game again anyway, but now you're just making me go for another run.
Yeah, it was simultaneously like when you finally beat it, when you finally slay that spire the first time, like okay, I did it, and then it sort of just kind of like, okay, yeah, but your journey's just begun. And it's like, I was simultaneously happy, but also just like wanted to like punch my TV. Like, I was just like, no, there cannot be more past this. And there is, I can't remember. I think they call it Ascension ranks or something like that. There's many things that build upon it. And there's also the key, like the keys. And did you finish the keys?
I got 3 keys.
But did you make it? Did you finish the
no,
end?
I got the red,
is it?
Green, blue keys, and then the, oh wait, hold on, no, I got the red, green, blue arrows, but the keys are different. I don't think I got the keys yet.
No, those are the keys.
Those are the
yes.
Oh, so there's something else during the run you can pick up too.
So
there's a whole there's other things you can pick up.
Yeah. So like once you beat it, it does open up a couple things, but the keys is the main one. So the red key can be obtained at a rest site. Basically, like you, instead of taking a rest or getting a card, you pick up the key. There's a buffed elite, and that's basically that circle. Like there's a boss icon that's got a circle around it, and then the sapphire key is in the question mark room. So you have to get all 3 of those. And then finish the run, which is crippling you even more, because you're basically giving up either a rest site and you're purposely fighting an elite, which is going to be more difficult, as well as missing out on a treasure. Like, yeah. So it's a lot. But then I guess I won't spoil it since you haven't been through. But so when you do that, there's even more to the game after. It's not another like 50-hour journey or anything. But that is kind of truly the end game of it, is finding all those keys and getting through that door and finding out what's behind it. And so like there's reasons to keep playing it. And that was kind of the biggest thing that I had to know what was behind that door. Like I absolutely had to know. And what I will say is when I got there, I was a little bit like, really? Like you, I know, like, come on. Like I thought, again, like when you think it's over, it's not over. It just keeps going. And it's like, oh my God, like, but it was fun. You know, it was a good challenge to get there. And yeah.
There's so much to do. There's so much to keep doing, rather. And I think that's a hallmark of this game specifically, because a lot of these are end up being pretty good, but sometimes when you get to the end, you're just kind of done, you know, because that first climb could be so taxing on your time and just and on your skills, to where if it takes you days and days to finally get to the mountaintop, sometimes you're just like, I'm done, I get it now. But Slay the Spire, it definitely wants you to keep playing. It definitely drags it out, and in the best way possible. I feel like each class creates just a different experience entirely. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing what's behind the last secret in this game.
Yeah, it's, for me, it was like, I think about something like Monster Train, and you liked Monster Train way more than I did. And I liked it, but I did not love it. And I think what the difference is for me is sort of that simplicity of it. And Monster Train had that sort of like tiered system of, you know, like, hey, like this area's got 4 things, and this is 1v1 basically. Like it's you versus the spire, and that doesn't mean you're only fighting one enemy, but there's a strategy to it that is simplistic but very hard to master, kind of thing. And so as you keep playing it, you start learning how the game wants you to play it and how it wants you to play the class. And usually what it is, it's you're just not looking at something right. Like for the longest time, I was just like, why would I ever want to remove a card? Like, somebody explain to me why I'd want to remove a card. And I'm sure that I don't entirely get it still. But, like, when it finally clicked to me, I was like, oh, that's why I want to remove a card. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff that is right in front of your face. It's easy to pick up. And then once you figure it out, it makes sense. And it's you've learned something that's going to help you for the rest of the game now. Whereas something like Monster Train, again, still a very good game. But I feel like there was times in that game, like, I just sort of stumbled my way through it. And, like, I didn't exactly know what was happening sometimes. It's just, like, I beat this boss because this crazy combo happened that I didn't really set up myself. Whereas this is, like, no, I started at the bottom of this, and I picked the right cards. I picked the right things. I got rid of the right things. I got the right relics. You know, like, it's a culmination of everything that you've learned. And that's extremely hard to do, especially in a game that's about cards. Like, that's a randomized thing to begin with.
Right. I mean, even when you're kind of moving on autopilot, it's still a game of, hold on, let me read each and every card so I know I'm playing the right card in the right order. Because there are quite a few times where I'm like, dang, I screwed that player.
Yeah, I could have played this other card, but I wasn't paying attention. Like,
yeah. Like, I was on autopilot, and then you left with that card in hand that says something like, well, if you play this card, every attack it hits twice. I'm like, why didn't I do it the first time?
Right.
Like why? I need to read my cards. Like, I feel like a Yu-Gi-Oh player who just doesn't read cards and just puts things on the table.
Yeah, there was, and it's, for me, what it is, it's like, again, it's no one's fault but my own. And I was so frustrated so many times because, like, there is a time sink to this game, and it got to the point to where I was like, I need to get to the third level so I can get there. You know, like, that's where I'm having my issues. But then you start making mistakes, and those mistakes end up costing you more time, kind of thing. So it's like this growing, what you want to call it, like, you know, just you want to beat the game so bad that you start making, and it's just,
yeah, exactly. Yep.
It's just, yeah. Like, it's so frustrating. But again, it's not a time I can blame the game. I really can't. And that's the magic of it. But also, like, it's a time sink. Like, each run, if you're doing it right, you're looking at 45 minutes to an hour. And that's even if you know what you're doing. Like, it is not for the faint of heart in that manner.
And that, I feel like that's a positive in this game, because a lot of these games try a little too hard, and I will put Monster Train in that as well, where they don't want you to take up all of your time. They want to make it, they want you to feel like you're in and out, or that you can put it down. This is a game I don't feel like I ever want to put down. Like, if I'm having a good run, I'm like, I'm not leaving the house now. Like, I need to finish this run, see it out first, because I don't want to lose whatever mindset I'm on.
Yep,
right now.
Yep.
Like, clearly, because I'm in the zone.
Yeah, and you can save mid-run, but I did that a couple times. Now it's just like, when you come back to it, like, it's like, for me, it reminds me a lot of chess. You know, like, I was a chess player back in the day, and, like, you need that warm-up game. Like, you need that sort of, like, very easy, you know, that first area to sort of just, like, okay, get in the groove, like, okay, I got to get this card, I got the combo here, you know, like, you've got to get in that mindset. And if you save during a level three and you're, unless you come right back to it, like, 10 minutes later, even, you're going to fall out of that mindset. And it's like, ah, crap. Like, because again, it comes down to, the cards are so unique for each class that it's like, even though there's separate strategies and stuff, you really do have to pay attention to what card you're getting. Cause that's the RNG fact of it. And there are certain cards that work better with others. And unless you know exactly what's in your deck, which usually you do when you're playing it in one sitting, because you start building that strategy in your head. Like, by the end of the first act, if you don't have a strategy in mind, you're going to lose. Like you're going to pick the cards that you need. Like, okay, this is the build that I'm going for this run because this is what the game gave me, kind of thing. If you don't have that picked out by the end of the first run, you're not going to make it, kind of thing. So it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There are... If you're comparing it to Monster Train, there's definitely some times where, and I praised it for that, because I'm just like, thank God I lucked out into this thing, into this combo. Whereas here, like, I just, you don't really get lucky in that same sense. Like, you're just kind of, if you don't thick it out, you are screwed.
Yeah. Like the relics can definitely make or break a run sometimes. If I had to pick something wrong with the game, I would say the relics to me, some of them are just not great. And I've tried to make sure that it's not, am I not figuring something out, you know? Like, is like, am I not figuring out what the combo with this? And I don't think it's that case. I think some of them just aren't that great. Of course, I can't think of any at the moment, but it's just like, sometimes you pick up that relic and it's like, okay, great. You know, on your third turn, you get 5 defense, you know, whatever. It's just like something random like that. And it's like, I'm sure that's helpful in some situations, but was that worth the trouble I went through to get this relic? Absolutely not. Like, absolutely not.
Oh yeah. No, I agree with that. So some of the power-ups just flat out suck. And I won't even say some, I would say half of them, honestly. And the other half are a little, excuse me. And the other half are just a little too, positive and negative on both sides, whereas like, sure, I get 2 extra energy this turn, but why do I need to take 20 damage, or why do I need to take 5 decay cards, or why do I have to lose a turn? Like some of the more damaging parts of the give and take are just, I think, more brutal than they need to be.
Yeah, the risk reward sometimes just is just not worth it. It's just not, like, there was times where the vampire one was one that I kept running into, and I just like,
well, yeah. And like, when will I ever, like, I don't get
it. Yeah. And so, and that was an instance where, like, one time I did it, I was just like, what am I missing here? Like, there has to be something I'm just not paying attention to that, you know, or I'm not, it's just not clicking with me that, what am I doing? And I did it a couple times, and I can't figure it out. Like, I'm just like, I don't understand. So, like, basically what that does is it removes all your basic strikes and you get bites instead, and the bites heal you. And it's like, okay, like, I get it that it heals you, but if I lose all my strikes, not, like,
right.
It, at that point,
could,
it's too late.
The bites replace the strikes, but the bites don't do enough damage. And they don't heal enough either by end game.
Plus you lose 30% of your max HP. So it's just like, just not worth it. Especially and that's very class dependent too. You know, like, maybe on the Ironclad, maybe it's worth it in a certain way the Silent, because healing yourself is the hardest part of the Silent. And so maybe it makes sense in that capacity, but again, like, it can throw off your entire deck kind of thing. And so that's the stuff that it's, again, maybe there's just something I'm not thinking about, and maybe there's a certain build. Like, if you get to that point, it's like, this isn't happening. This is like going to save me. I don't know, but it just, there were instances of that. I was just like, this isn't doing anything for me. So, that's not a nitpick or anything like that. But like, I think that's just where the game could be a little tighter.
But talking about it, though, I feel like that's a secret thing of the game. That's my own headcanon. If you beat the game or slay the spire with the bites, I feel like you get something. Like, that's the only way I could think about it. Because otherwise, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Your own headcanon, it just sort of broke my brain a little bit, because it's like, it comes back to, it's like, again, it's like, what am I missing? So like, I've convinced myself that this isn't worth it, but
I really have. Yeah.
But there's somebody that's playing Slay the Spire right now or listening to this. It's just like, you fools.
Like, and they're going for the bites. Like, oh, like, I didn't get the vampire run, I'm out.
Right. Like this is how you beat the game. And it's just like, yeah. So I don't know, but it's, there's a lot of little stuff like that. And sometimes, like, again, the relics can make you or break you, kind of thing. And it's, some of them are pretty bad. Like, some of them are there's, what's the word I want to say? It's, it never can, like, I guess make or break is probably too extreme. But there are sometimes to where they just don't add enough or take enough away or even add enough that it's different. And again, it comes back to the, when I'm playing a run-based game, I want to feel like every run is possible. And that's usually here with it, but the relics seem almost like a bonus that don't really need to be there. But they're also interesting. Like, they keep things interesting as well. Like, it's like, I'm going to go to this treasure chest because I want to know what's in there. So I was hoping that was just going to be one time I was going to get something that was just like, okay, this is... okay, like, this is the run now. Like, I got lucky. I found the thing. Let's go. And that kind of never happened for me.
Now, did you run into the transient at all before we end this?
The transient? I don't think so. The transient.
That's the guy who has 999 health.
Oh, yes, definitely.
That guy showed up a few times. Peed me all the way off. Because each time it showed up, it only shows up in the last map, the third run, and every time it showed up, I'm like, I'm having the game of my life right now. Here we go, and then it has 999 health. When I looked it up, I'm like, did I do something wrong? Did I do something to warrant this? Like, in Persona games, if you hang out in a dungeon too long. I've got the creature's name, but like a nightmare creature shows up and it has that much health and it can't one shot you. But in that case, I know I did something wrong. I feel like the transient shows up randomly, and apparently you need I have to look it up because I was that upset about it. I looked it up and you need the only way to beat him is to get the infinite card loop.
So,
and in my head, I think I know what that is. But I've never got to that point where I had I have got to a point where I've seen the cards that I'm like, oh, I can just attack infinitely now.
So that, because you played as the Ironclad, right? That was your main.
I beat it as all three. I'm working on the Watcher now.
Got it. Yeah. So I in my head, if I remember correctly, yeah, the Ironclad. He ends up being like the worst one to fight him. But against the Silent and the Defect. So every, cause I'm sure you figured out by now, but like, so when you hit him, he gets debuffed. So whatever, you know, if he's dealing 30 times 10, if you hit him for 30 damage, it ends up being 0 times 10. So he gets debuffed every time you hit him. But with the Ironclad, like, there's you have to build up to it sometimes. Like, you need to build up to that sort of big hit. Same thing with the Silent, but the Silent, I feel like, just has more ways to get out there quickly, like to nickel and dime him with a poison and stuff like that. Same thing with the Defect. Like, the Defect has a lot of either buffs for yourself or him kind of thing. But no, like, yeah, if you run into an issue to where, like, you're just not pulling cards with the Ironclad and you're not building up that next hit, like, yeah, he'll wipe you in one turn. Like,
seriously, yeah. Like, and it's just like, oh man, like, I like little stuff like that. I'm truly not a fan of. I'm just like it's interesting, but I'm like, not in my runner though, because as you said earlier in the game, I'm sorry, earlier in the show, these runs take 40 minutes to an hour,
yeah.
And I hate it, and I hate it for to lose when. It's not my fault. I need to be able to see that guy coming, I guess.
Yeah, he was not the one for me that was like, every time I saw him, I was like, okay, like, I'm sure he wiped me a couple times before I sort of figured out the strategy for him. But there was some, I don't know any of the names, but no, Act 3 is definitely like, it's, you can get bodied real quick. And like, you think you're doing okay. And there's just something that shows up and it just like, you're like, oh God, like why? And I remember one of them was the ones that like that heal each other or whatever. There's the I have no idea what they're called, but there's usually three of them. And if you don't kill all three of them within one turn, basically.
Oh, the black goo things.
Yeah, like those were difficult for me simply because like I could take them down, but they hit really hard. And so it was the combination of like, okay, I usually go with the approach of taking out the weakest enemies first because that's less I have to deal with. And that I'm sure 95% of the time that's right. And I'm sure there's other times that I'm doing it wrong kind of thing. But those are the ones that's like, how do I spread out the damage so that way they all die within a turn each other and make sure that I'm not taking damage? And that's hard to do. It's not easy at all. And especially if they end up playing like a block or something. Like if they end up playing a block that like I get two of them down and or one of them down and then one of them ends up blocking so much damage that it's like, okay, now no matter what I do, the cards that I drew, I could not do enough damage within one turn. So it's like, okay, I need to spread the damage out more. So that way, you know, whenever one of them goes down, the next two go down. But then I also have to do that without taking too much damage. And so I guess this is coming from the silent. The silent, I use poison a lot. So like I have to kind of spread the poison out, but that's hard to do against three enemies. So it came time, anytime I fought them, like I knew I was basically going to lose half of my health, which depending on when you ran into them during that run, if you run into them at the beginning, it's possible. Run into them at the end, you're done. Like, because you're going to end up going to the last enemy or the final, I guess not the final boss, but the last boss of Act 3, like, and it could just totally ruin your day. So
see, that's so interesting because those guys, cause like, although like I agree, very annoying, but like it's funny to hear like what each of us found more annoying than the other thing, because like those things are annoying, but at the same time they didn't bother me too much.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think the I think it was called the Orb Walker, which is like the big laser thing. And
oh, those sucked.
Yeah, those suck. But those, that's just, to me, that's a pretty typical fight of, yeah, of, you know, make sure that you're not taking too much damage. The Kraken looking thing, the constricted, like the constriction can sometimes really screw you up if they use constrict on you. But
the snake, I hate the snake.
Yeah.
It confuses you. So you don't know. So it changes the cost of your cards.
Yeah.
So like all your, so a lot of times I build up like a deck of like zero cost cards. Only for them cost like three or four. I'm like, oh, I hate you so much right now.
Yep. And that's, and so then, but the bosses can be different too. Like I believe each act has three different bosses. And so on the third act, the donut looking thing and the pyramid looking thing, like that ended up being the easiest in my opinion. But I also, I beat the awakened one, which is the one that you kill it and then it comes back. Like that was the first time I killed that. Like I knew it was too easy. Because the first, it comes with two other things, but I did not expect him to come back with full health and be buffed. Like he's buffed to no end. Like he will hit you and you will die within one turn, basically. And that for him, I won't say I got lucky, but I just had the run of my life with the.
I got lucky on that guy. Yeah. Being the first time, got lucky, extremely lucky. I just had a run that time.
I think I sent you the video of when I ended up hitting him with the ironclad over 300, which his health is 300 in one hit. And so when he came back, I just drew the right cards and I hit him for over 300 in one turn and just wiped him out. I was like, thank God. like I was so worried about him. And yeah, it's, yeah, so. But there's some real jerks in there. And again, it's not our fault though. Like it's just part of it is that you don't face these guys that often. So sometimes you just don't know what the best strategy is and you have to get wiped that first time to really understand what you should have done better. But the game does not mess around. It is not for the faint of heart. Like this game will beat you down if you do not pay attention and get better at it. So it's fun, but again, it will. I was so frustrated, but still having a good time. Like I can't think of another game right off the top of my head to where it's like, okay, like this was clearly my fault. It's, I guess the closest thing I think of is like a Bloody Palace run in Devil May Cry. It's like, you know, you get to that 40 or 50th level and it's like, okay, you're coming up to the, everyone's got the one boss in DMC that like, just for whatever reason, you're not the best at. Like you can get the other two bosses, no problem. But this one, the way that he jumps, the way that she moves, whatever, it always throws you off. And then you just wasted 40 minutes or even more, sometimes an hour getting to this part that you've beaten before. But this particular time, you just drop the ball. And it's so frustrating. So.
Yeah, I think we know. Like this is a must play. Like this, like I'm a sucker for these games anyway. But like this one in particular, it's been out forever. We all know it's good, but I think a lot of us also just kind of put on a back burner and say we get to it. I think when this is time to get to it, guys. This is a really, this is one you can't, once you pick up, you can't put down.
Yeah, it's, oh man. I said, the only thing that sucks is I wish it had cross save, because there was times where I just wanted to, oddly, I think it works best with a controller. Like I, even though you have a mouse pointer and you can kind of click and do it, but like I got so efficient on that controller that I think it might be the way to play. But, and turn on fast mode. Why is fast mode on, not on by default? Like,
right, exactly.
Like, cause I definitely like, I figured it was just going to remove all the animations in general. You know, like I thought it was going to be, cause that's like in Pokemon actually, but say with me, in Pokemon, you can remove the animations of like the attacks and stuff. And so like that significantly speeds up the, I was like, okay, cool. It's just going to remove like all the slashes and like, no, it just does them faster. And I'm like, well, just put that on by default.
Yeah, like, right. I agree. Like, what are you? I agree. Yeah.
What are you doing? So, Slay the Spire, play it, pass it on, have some fun with it. Like I said, it's a little bit of a cheat because I think everybody and their mom knew that this game was good. But we played so much of it and we had such a good time, we just had to talk about it. So,
I don't think it's a cheat. I never played it.
Fair so, enough. Yeah, it, that's fair. So I had never actually dove into it as hard as I had this time. Ever. And I don't know what it was about this time. I think it just, it was holiday break and all that stuff. And like, so I just had a bunch of time on my hands. I would just load up a podcast, turn that on and just Slay the Spire, you know? So there you go. So play it, pass it on. This might be the strongest start we've had ever to a year. We did RoboQuest. We did Slay the Spire and Remnant 2, which are all pretty strong games in my opinion. I think that, you know, unanimously, well, they're all must plays, I think, in our opinion. So,
I mean, it's quite easy when you're not playing Microsoft made games.
They're going third party anyway, right?
Do they have an option? Yeah,
somebody just listen to this, like, you idiot, they're not going third party. We'll talk about that. Chances are you've already heard that we're talking about that. So when it comes to the future of this show, go back and listen to our reactions for the developer directs that would have happened at this time. And we're also going to talk about the rumors of Microsoft going third party, what that means and how we feel about it kind of thing. We're also going to be talking about, I already forgot the name of that name, name of the game. What is it? Against the Storm. So that just came out. And that's really the only thing on my like immediate docket. And While the Iron is Hot, that's one that you picked up that I'm playing now too, so we're going to talk about that. But those are kind of the big ones. After that, I thought about this, like, do we need to spin the wheel?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time since we've spun that wheel, and I don't know, like, usually it doesn't work out for us. So
I've never been happy about the wheel.
No, I haven't either.
I won't say never, but
it
goes to show, like, there's a lot of stuff on this platform, but there's a lot of stuff you don't want to play. I mean, before we sign off, you sent me the list. Let me see if there's anything on this list, coming soon list, that I actually give a crap about.
I think there was one on there I wanted to check out.
I don't think.
Oh, Pal World. Pal World actually looks extremely interesting. That's what I'll say. Okay. Pal World looks really interesting. And that's a day one.
I'm going to play through Persona 3 again, just because I'm a nerd, so I'm going to play through it again. I don't think I need to talk about it, but I'm going to play it. That's just other people play it too.
Yeah. So maybe we'll spin the wheel, but by the time these episodes come out, we should be into February. So we should have another new drop. But yeah, I mean, like, Resident Evil 2 is a great get. Like, that's a great get for the service. However, I played Resident Evil 2 a long time ago. I might download it on PC just to, you know, look at it. I'm sure it looks really nice, but, we try to, you know, we try to find stuff we haven't played before. So, but all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. 574-651-9256 if you want to shoot us a text message or shoot us a voicemail about how you feel about Slay the Spire or any game on the Game Pass service, you can do that there. So how do we end up talking 45 minutes about Slay the Spire? How does that?
Because it's a good game.
How does that happen?
Well, we play a lot of good games, as you pointed out. So, yeah.
And I'll be interested to see where we're at the halfway mark this year. Like, because last year was an extremely strong year for gaming, but I don't think we really sold how strong of a year it was for Game Pass, like truly, when you go back and look at it. So I'll be curious to see where we're at the halfway year, halfway point. So, all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with either Against the Storm or the Oven Game. What is it? While the Iron is Hot.
Good day, sirs.